Well, good morning. It's a little bit of a different service this morning. This will be for Sunday the 22nd of March 2020. And this is the first of our socially distanced services. So pray it's a help to you. God bless you. And thank you for tuning in, or thank you for spinning up that CD. We're going to begin with a word of prayer. And then we're going to sing, Count Your Blessings. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for the life and the health and strength and even the desire to be here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us and for the many years, in many cases, of salvation that you've gifted us with. And I pray you please, Lord, that even now that you would put your good hand on those that are not feeling 100%, that you would lift them up, that you would save not just lives, but souls also. We know it will be a time of deep thought for many souls. And we know that sadly there are going to be some that step off into eternity. Just pray you, Father, please, that it would be an eternity with you and not one without. Please bless the meeting this morning, Lord, in Bethel. Please, Lord, bless each of the souls that are listening. Please, Lord, especially our church members, for those that are going through difficult times, for those that are sick, for those that are lonely, for those, Lord, that are cast down, please, I pray you put your good hand upon each one of us. We love you and thank you. We pray, Lord, not just for ourselves, but for Brother Stan and the folks up in Bangor. Pray you, Lord, for Brother Cosgrave, Brother Forrest, Brother Hayne, Brother Asquith, Lord, for all those men and indeed women, Lord, that are standing to preach and indeed teach the word of God to those that desire it. Please, Lord, let this be a time when people seek you instead of entertainment and some way to pass the time. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Please bless this time together. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I want to sing 439, and we hope you appreciate that Monica's in my duet for you. God bless you, and if you know the words, join in.
And if it's a price you want the Lord.
Alrighty. Normally we would be singing a couple of songs before our Bible reading, but we are going to be doing the Bible reading as well. This time we're going to read from Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. If at any time, whenever we're referring to Bible verses, this time when you're listening to this, you can't actually stop me and go and find the Bible reference. But don't forget to hit the play button again. Yeah. Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? Kings of the earth set themselves, and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Amen. Now, normally we would be reading the announcements right now, but the only announcement is that we are not having regular services for a couple of weeks, but all the things that are on our prayer list still need to be prayed for. Everybody, I'm sure we all have private prayer requests. Please do remember those from myself and Monica, from Christy and Ling and Will and Carol and Steve and John, and most especially for Dr. Shang that got saved, goodness, just five days ago. Please do pray for Ling's husband. We have been praying for him for years, and we pray that many more souls will come to know Jesus Christ at this time. Please do pray for the leaders of our country, or our countries if you're in Great Britain, the leaders in Scotland, Wales, England and Northern Ireland. Please do pray for the leaders in all of the other countries around the world. All that it takes is for one not to toe the line, and this thing could kick off again at some time in the future. Please do pray for America and Ireland, for Europe, for Russia, for China, for North and South Korea, for Australia, for Japan, for all of those countries in the world that are likely to be hit with this sickness. And please do be especially careful for your behaviour over the next few weeks. I know it may be difficult for many to sit in, to be doing things around the house when so much of our lives revolves around being out and about and entertaining ourselves. This would be a great opportunity to grow close to Christ. Please take it. You may not get another. I think that's really about that. Please also do remember that the preparations for the acquiring of the land for the church go apace as well, and that we are looking forward to completing that before any of the, well, before, I would hope, all of this coronavirus stuff ends. I would like to get all that sorted out, but the Lord, pray the Lord's will be done. Amen. Well, we're going to sing one we have sung before, 372, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. And then we are going to open our Bibles, 372, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning.
Say you can put your hymn books away, but I'm only talking to myself and my good wife. You can take your Bibles if you like, if you're able, and turn to the book of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. We're going to begin reading at verse number 1. This portion of God's Word, I am sure, is familiar to many of us. It is, unfortunately, a portion of Scripture that is most often associated with funerals and very, very difficult times. And I thought it would be a good message to begin with as we enter this time of being apart from each other. The title for the message is, well, is the same as the first handful of words from our reading. John 14 and 1, it says, Let not your heart be troubled. And that is the title of our message this morning. John 14 and 1, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord,
We know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Good words to start with and to finish with. It is this message is for the 22nd of March 2020. We're having it on the Sabbath day morning. But this is for the Lord's Day morning, so we're meeting on the Sabbath, and I suppose in a way we'll be meeting with you on the Lord's Day as well. Let not your heart be troubled, and it finished with, neither let it be afraid. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we are going to continue. Dear loving Heavenly Father, just thank you again for loving us and watching over us. We pray you, Lord, for our countrymen and our townsmen. We pray you, Lord, for their salvation at this time. We pray you, Lord, that they would find that so many of the things that they've put their trust in no longer work or no longer work for them. Please, Lord, help us even in these difficult days to be a help to lost souls. To show them, Lord, that no matter what the world will take away, should it be our freedom, our conveniences, our cups of coffee, our visits to hotels and pubs, that you are always there. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're the solid rock that nothing in this world can move can shake or even cause a wee bit of a wobbling. And I thank you, Lord, for being that for us. Please bless our time around your word. Please bless, Lord, each soul that hears your word and applies it to their hearts. Please bless us as well as we take this time to prepare this packed lunch for your children, Lord, for our brethren. Just thank you for loving us, Father. I pray you, Lord, you'd reach out across the world and speak to souls. And we pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. As we said before we started, this portion of God's word you hear mostly at funerals, but there are some amazing verses in it. Verses that we would do well to remember. These verses are a great comfort, especially to Christians, when the thought of a loved one stepping off into eternity with Christ is the only thing that can console or comfort or give any hope for the future. But for right now, they are also a promise to you and I. Because knowing beforehand where you're going to spend eternity actually makes a difference in how you behave right now. It enables you to live like a child of God instead of like a child of hell, trying to forget, trying to push away, trying to live life solely in sensation. And as I was reading these verses and even studying these verses, I was reminded that the Lord is with his children always. Well, he actually says so. He says, I will give you another comforter. He will not leave us comfortless. And this other comforter, the Holy Spirit, is the key or the doorway to all of the promises that God gives to his children. The peace, the comfort, the wisdom, the purpose, and so much more, the company, the ministrations of angels, all of these things are through the Holy Spirit, which is given to us at the moment whenever we realize that we are lost without a hope and that our only hope is in the repentance of our sins and trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, the Word of God also says here that we will know if someone's really for Jesus. We know we're for Jesus if we love the brethren, but we know if someone else is for Jesus if they love the Lord, if they do what he asks them to do, which is what these verses actually says. Now, it doesn't mean that someone that gets saved will immediately be the ideal Christian, let's be honest. If it was only a matter of pulling a piece of wood off a tree and immediately it was a beautiful sculptor, I don't think the work of the sculptor would be, or the artist would be, valued very much. But the Lord has a lot of work to do in us once we get saved. Many bad habits to unlearn and many new and good habits to pick up and to cultivate. But as a soul reads and studies and goes to church and prays and learns more and more about how God wants us to behave and how we can know he is always with us, helping us, straightening us, giving us wisdom, showing us what's right and what's wrong, you know what? Life actually does get better. There's a part of us that says, no, it doesn't. It means I can't do this and I won't be able to do that. It's not really that simple. It means quite literally that God is saving you from the effects of doing all of those things that so many lost souls seem to take pleasure. And I want for you to know just for a wee minute that most, if not all, of the things that lost souls take pleasure in are all-encompassing. They do not appeal to reason. They only appeal to feeling and to sensation. And more often than not, they direct people to do things that are really harmful. Now, the Word of God also says, and it may be more evident at this time, that whenever you trust in Christ as your Savior, whenever you are spending time in God's Word, that you'll get something that lost souls just can't have and won't understand. And that is a level head, if you want it. And peace that the world can't find anywhere. The peace that God's children find at this time, that we find at this time, doesn't come from the TV, and it doesn't come from our ability to get out and walk about and to shake hands with our friends. It doesn't come from the computer. It doesn't come from our mobile phone, which I just read this morning. I saw that sales are tanking a bit in the world, down about 38% to 40%, and not surprisingly. This peace comes from God. It comes from knowing that you're going to heaven. It comes from having the Holy Spirit in your heart. And that is for God's children. And the best thing about that is, God is always willing to adopt another son or daughter. You and I can know this, because that's direct from God to you and me. Now, we do indeed live in uncertain times. I am sure that if you're a child of the Lord for more than a day or two, you will have heard of the many mentions in the Word of God of the plagues and the disasters, the tragedy, the loss, the earthquakes, and even the shortages, the famines that are mentioned. And here in the UK, we have heard about that quite a lot of late. We have heard about it for the past few months in China. Whenever I was in the hospital back in December, I was hearing about the start of it in China, in Wuhan. I remember looking out of the window and hearing about the quarantines that were talked about and unfortunately not implemented quickly enough. And I suppose that whenever we hear about the earthquakes in Turkey and the locust plagues in Africa and all of these things that are going on across the world, it's very, very easy just to say a quick prayer, Lord, save souls in Wuhan province. Lord, save souls in locust-plagued Africa. Or Lord, save the souls of those that are in Turkey, and amen. And we thank the Lord that it's not happening to us. However, now that we have a taste of this personally, now that it is real, now that it is up close and personal, I hope and pray that your time with the Lord and the content of your conversations of the Lord become a bit more real, a bit more personal. For those of you that have been saved for many years and have cultivated a relationship with God, now is the time that your time with God and years gone by will hold to you, will stand by you. And for those of you that have not cultivated more than 2 minutes in prayer with God at a time, now is a time to seek God as a friend. To ask him things, to wait for him to answer, and not just to give him a shopping list of prayer requests that you have and to say, thank you God for answering all my prayers. Did you ever stop to think what God's prayer, his plan for you might be? Now is the time to take that time that we have and to seek God. Many years ago, I think it was on a second visit to Monica's folks over in America. I think we were leaving from Aldergrove, so that was one of the last flights that they ever did to America from Aldergrove. I was pulling a suitcase out of the back of the car and I twisted my back. And I spent a lot of the 3 weeks for a couple of hours every afternoon just lying flat on my back with a hot water bottle just to ease the pain and the tightness in my back. And I remember the first day thinking, looking at the ceiling, what am I going to do for the next hour or two? Just sitting here. I can't even lift my arms up to read a book. I can't roll over on my side. It's too painful to go to sleep. What am I going to do? And I got to thinking, do you know what? I could just take my prayer time with the Lord. And that time became precious. And I found that there is a greater depth in the relationship that one of God's children can have with him, rather than just shouting goodbye at him, as we run out the door and get on with our lives. I found that there were a great many things that were unimportant. I also found time to pray about all those things that we think are unimportant. Well, now, friends, for you and I, it's not a case of being confined to a bed for 2 hours, but maybe being confined to our houses for two weeks, maybe 3 weeks. What are we going to do with all of that time? Now is when the prayers about such things should be real and personal, because it's happening to us. Now is the time when all the stupid things cease to matter and our walk with the Lord gets real. Now is the time that all of those things that used to be nothing but a news headline and a passing comment in church are at our back door. And now is the time to seek God. Now is the time to open our Bibles. Now is the time to load up our hearts and minds with Bible verses, with even these sermons that I would hope would be a bit of direction and comfort to you. Now is the time for you to make real friends with the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now is the time not just to have God as God, not just to have him as your Savior, but to have him as your friend. Now, with all that's going on, that doesn't mean that the sky is falling. If anyone has ever seen the Chicken Little film where he comes in running, "The sky is falling, the sky is falling, it's all coming to an end." I was asked this not that very long ago. Are we living, does this mean we are living in the last days? Well, I've got a couple of readings here that I would like to read you about. The beginning of sorrows, first of all in Matthew 24. And then we're going to read in 2 Timothy 3 and 1, 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Peter 3. These are what I call my last days freebies, because they pretty much are the same reference. Anyway, Matthew 24 and verse number 4. Remember, you can hit the pause here while you go and look for this if you want to read for yourself, or you can just read with me. "And Jesus answered and said unto them," this is in Matthew 24, "take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes," excuse me, "in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." That's talking about Christians there at the very end, and that's very important that we should be careful of letting sin into our lives, because it makes us very cold towards saved and lost alike. 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 1, this actually says what the last days shall be like. I want for you to think for a minute. 2 Timothy 3 and 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come," dangerous times. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that means not no self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm going to read 2 Peter 3:3 as well, and then we're going to just make a comment or two in these scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse number 3. And this is what the Lord said through Peter to us. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, in other words, making fun of God, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, that's God's word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire this time against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and all works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? This isn't a sign that we have moved into the last days or are now in the last days. Friends, we have been in the last days for decades. Whenever we look at the state of man, the state of young people, imagine a selfish child growing up into a selfish man. We've had, unfortunately, some experience of that of late, that wouldn't even hold the life of their own mother precious. No natural love or affection. We see about the famines and the pestilences and the diseases and the earthquakes. We are having those, and even now, sadly, they're talking about a new Cold War with China. And yet we have so many nations fighting against each other, sometimes with pens rather than swords. But we are here right now. Even at this very moment in time, we have seen so many other things come to our door as regards a global affliction. We are going to come to the bit where, for the cause of Christ, you will be arrested and hated when all you want to do is point folks to the foot of the cross. And the Word of God says there's going to be many's a false prophet. There's going to be many a deceiver. That thought is reiterated in 2 Timothy chapter 3 with an extra little caveat, an extra little bit of something. It also talks about ministers, about guys like me not telling people that they need to get saved and not telling them that they can have the victory over wicked feelings or bad thoughts. These guys it calls traitors. If you ever come across a minister who's wearing a collar, he's basically saying, I'm a man of God, ask me questions. Ask him how to get to heaven. And if he says anything else other than repenting of your sins and trusting in Christ as your Savior, the Bible says you should just head in the opposite direction to where he's going. 2 Peter chapter 3 gives us a little bit more. And it The one that mentions people making fun of Christians, just doing whatever they want. And I want for you to know it is very, very important. Any time that the Bible records people just doing whatever they want, God's judgment always fell on them shortly afterwards. One little portion of this word that I really do like, bearing in mind this book was finished just over 1900 years ago, this Bible. It says the Lord's not slack concerning his promises, especially as some men count slackness. In other words, if we made a promise to someone and someone didn't make good on that for a year or two, or they didn't come back, right, we might think, oh, well, that's said and done. That's not the case with God. All these prophecies, all these observations, God doesn't make people go bad. He's observed the behavior that makes people go bad, and he has recorded it for us. All these things are going to happen. All these things are going to happen. And we've been in, if you stop and think about it for a moment, this sort of behavior has been there for decades. Along with the many other prophecies that are in the Word of God, these things have been going on for decades. And it's just now, in spite of our tenuous hold on conservative Christian standards in this country, and I believe that God has been honoring us because we've been viewing these things from afar. Now, it's a different matter. I'm not saying that God is punishing the world for its bad behavior, but the Bible does say God is going to punish the world for its bad behavior. I want you to draw your mind away, way back. I think it's the time of Samuel and Saul, the first king of Israel. You know what? Saul was a good king. He was touched by the Holy Spirit. People remarked, is Saul also one of the prophets? Because when touched with the Holy Spirit, he preached the gospel. And he did very well for a number of years until he started to think, because he was chosen of God, that he could just do whatever he liked. He started to believe that he could perform the office of the high priest. And God said, there is only one high priest, and that was Samuel. And one day Samuel was a little bit late in getting to an appointment. And Saul started to perform the office of Samuel. And Samuel told him, through God, that because of his presumption, that the kingdom of Israel would be taken away from him. And he said, God's told me to go and I'm away. And Saul caught a hold of his garment and tore a piece off of his garment. And Samuel said to Saul, in the same way that you have torn my garment, the kingdom will be torn from you. We do know the sad fate of Saul, as tormented with his sin and regret, and as David rose to preeminence. Didn't happen in David's time, but even though David wasn't perfect either and fell badly and caused Israel a great amount of trouble with his carrying on with Bathsheba, even so, God used Bathsheba to produce Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, because he listened to God. Not even in the days of Solomon, two generations later, but in the days of Rehoboam, Solomon's son, the kingdom was torn from him. You know what? When even God's people lie and cheat and steal and murder in their hands or in their hearts and preach false gospels, don't be surprised when God's rod falls upon us. One of the verses we read this morning at the end of Psalm 2 says, to kiss the Son, lest you perish from the way, when his anger is kindled or his wrath is kindled but a little. Let me ask you a question today. I know we love to know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But if we are to behave no differently from those that drink and smoke and curse and swear and lie and cheat and steal, even by omission, why would God treat us any differently from the lost, Christ-rejecting world that he is going to punish? the end of our reading in 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us, challenges us. And it says, seeing that all of this stuff is going to go away someday, it's going to be dissolved in a fervent heat and a great noise, or we're going to leave it, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You know what? The Lord is a great believer in the future, and he provides for it. After all, that's where our hope lies. My hope lies in the future. And I am praying that in the future, I am definitely praying as I recover, I know if the Lord gives me no more days and weeks and months and years, that is where the best of my life will be. And I would pray that would be where the best of your life should be. And I'm not talking about more money, and I'm not talking about better health or darker hair or more friends. I'm talking about our walk with the Savior. And one of the reasons that God packed the Bible with prophecy, in the words of the Lord himself in John 13, he said, I tell you before it come, that when it has come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. I am God, I am the Savior. That was spoken about his up-and-coming betrayal by Judas Iscariot. But he said, I'm telling you who it is before it happens so that you can know that I am God. And you might have the time in the back of your hand, but I hold the whole of time in the palm of my hand. And I am letting you know not just about Judas and not just about the wars and the rumors of wars. I am telling you about all of these things, but most importantly, that you can have a home in heaven whenever this life is over, and a friend from heaven, the Holy Spirit, with you on earth right now. And I want for you to know that regardless of what goes on, and I pray that as you listen to this, you are taking care of yourself, physically and spiritually. I want you to know these words from the Scriptures. These words were the words that changed my life forever. When I came to Bethel, I was just looking for a church to go to, but God had other plans. When I came to Bethel and heard these words, it was like lighting, as they say, the blue touch paper on a rocket. My Christian life took off. The Lord said in John 10:27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, he will keep you in the palm of his hand forever. You can never be unsaved. You can never go to hell. Never. Not even, not by what other people do to you, not by what time does to you, and not even by what you do to yourself. You are going to heaven. And that just made such a difference to me. Instead of having to, as I thought, being an ignorant and stupid Christian, I became an informed Christian. And I knew, instead of trying to make up for the silly things that I had done, that I should just labor for the Lord and do what I could for him. Now, I've got another couple of verses and then a few comments and then we're done. In Romans chapter 8, there's a verse I love to quote in Romans chapter 8, 28, and we'll get to that in a minute. But I want Romans 8, 31 first. Romans 8, 31, halfway through, it says, well, let's just read it all. What shall we say to these things? And then it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? We love that verse, don't we? We like to think of ourselves as like the Hulk with superpowers and super invulnerability because we're God's children and nothing bad can ever happen to us. That is not quite the way that works. If we do things God's way, people might hate us, but they can't deny us. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who shall be against us? You see, the little bit of scripture that puts that in its proper perspective, it is not us that decides what to do, and the power of God will smite all our enemies and will make our roads straight, slightly inclined downwards and clear. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28 puts that in its proper perspective. It gives us the way that works. It is not God that walks with us and makes our lives perfect or as best they can be. It's when we walk with God. It says, and we know that all things work together for good. Yes, indeed, even this time of uncertainty, well, that the rest of the world has, even this time can still work for good to God's people. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are what? The called according to his purpose. If you are doing what God would ask you to do, if you love him as your Savior, the job will be done and nobody can stand against it. And you know what? There was a day whenever he was given that those words of assurance to his disciples nearly 2,000 years ago, and I am thankful that that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. And the promise is still there, because he said he's not slack concerning his promises. Whether it's going to happen in a day, whether it's going to happen in 1,000 years, God will make good on his promises, and those promises are just as valid today. Those offers are just as valid today. I'm going to close with a few thoughts. The Lord did indeed fill the Bible with glimpses of the future for you and me. And he did this so that whenever things happened in the world, we, his children that trust and believe in the word of God, not only as Savior but as our day-by-day bread and water and milk, meat and potatoes of the word, so that we could know that he is God when these things happened, that he knew they were going to happen. And he let us know so that we could believe and trust that he is God Almighty. That we could know for certain that the Bible is 100% dependable. That we could know that we are loved because this provision was made for us. And that we could trust all the other things that the Word of God says. And lastly, that we could be ready to face all these things, even if the only preparation we can make is to say, Lord, please forgive me for being a sinner. So that we could be ready for eternity and salvation, and ready for today and tomorrow in obedience to God's word instead of our own thoughts. So as the last little bit of our Bible reading said, John 14 and 27, the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples nearly 2,000 years ago, and I'm saying to you today, I'm just repeating it, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. God bless you. Looking forward to doing more of these. Wish you were here with us in the service, but we preach by faith and we distribute the word of God by faith. We are going to sing another song. I hope it's not too painful on the ears. I had hymn number 55 in my mind, so we're going to sing that. I was going to sing 36. Christy, that's not because I can't be bothered. It's because my voice doesn't seem to want to go up that high this morning. So hymn number 55 is When the Roll is Called Up Yonder.
Well, I pray you have a good Lord's Day. Thank you for being part of our socially and chronologically distanced fellowship this morning. It has been a battle. The devil certainly doesn't want us doing this or taking any time with the Lord, but God bless you for listening to this. And we are going to bid you good day and have a good Lord's Day. And whenever you're listening to this, we pray you a good day in Christ and a stronger walk with Christ, a closer walk with Christ. Let's close our eyes and we'll pray. And then we'll see you next time. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this little bit of time. Lord, for the freedom of the Scriptures, even at this time when the world is closing down around us, we pray you please for your good hand upon us. And just, Lord, I pray you for Lorna at this time, as she's expecting a baby in the next few weeks, that everything would go smoothly, that mother and new child would be kept from any illnesses that are going around whatsoever. Please, Lord, look after each one of us as we go our separate ways and bless the preaching and the teaching of the cross, no matter where it takes place. Lord, we just love you and thank you. And we pray all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. Until Wednesday, then. God bless you.